Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the huddle. Me, Coach Munnell, flying solo tonight. And I just wanted to the last show of 2021. Wanted to get out there. Wish everybody a happy new year this weekend. And, you know, some events. You know, John Madden passed away. Big, big shock. You know, they just had that big... you know, Fox, well worth the watch. If you have not seen it, believe they're airing it. Is it tonight again at 8 o'clock? Not 100% on that. Check it out wherever you can. Great, great video, and listen to everybody talk about John Madden and what he meant. And, you know, a really, really a sad day. He was such a contributor to the league, and listening to the NFL Sirius Radio NFL channel, and the amount of behind the scenes things that he did and what he was about and things he did for the game is really remarkable. The amount of stuff that he did behind the scenes, what I'm saying, but you know, cause there's some guys, you know, out there in our audience, they watched him go up and down the sidelines and coach, you know, and then there's, you know, guys my age who watched him in the booth, you know, doing that. And, you know, luckily enough, that was for me, maybe not the those AFC teams as much, because, you know, CBS, they had the NFC. And being a Giant fan, the Giants were good. He did a lot of Giant games in the 80s, the mid to late 80s. So saw a lot of John Madden week in and week out. And, you know, back, because let's face it, that the 80s was kind of the heyday for the NFC East. It really was. So you saw him doing a lot of, you know, those NFC East teams a lot, the Eagles, you know, the Redskins, because at the time they were, you know, and of course the Giants and Cowboys, you know, so you saw a lot of John Madden, and then obviously moving on to Fox, and, you know, and then, you know, for the younger cats, it's all about the video game. You know, I have to laugh. I'll share this story. Me and my roommate, we were out, you know, this is out in Idaho. We heard a rumor that somebody had a man, I can't think of what it was. It wasn't a, you know, Xbox or, you know, I think it was a Sega, you know, we heard somebody had Madden, you know, 91 or whatever it was. And, we spent probably 2 or 3 days hunting this rumor down of, oh, I heard so-and-so. You know, so here you go. You got these two big guys knock on the door. Hey, man, I heard you got Madden. And he's like, yeah. I was like, mind if we play? No, come on in. He's got, you know, little 13-inch black and white TV, because, you know, back in the day, you know, not everybody had a color TV. And whatnot. And we sat there for hours playing this game. And finally, you know, like 3 a.m., this dude comes in and goes, "Hey, man, I got to get class in the morning. You think I can go to bed?" Oh, man, that's my my Madden story I'm sharing way back in the day for that, man. You know, and just watching John Madden and him making a mess of the teleprompter was, you know, one of my favorite things where he scribbled it in there. And I was thinking about it. There's another Madden reference that, you know, I'm setting up the big screen for the coach to set up I'm setting up the teleprompter, you know, and players and everybody's coming into the room, getting themselves situated, and I start putting up those X's and O's. And what's up, Anthony? Appreciate you jumping in, buddy. You know, and then I start drawing up a play and doing a John Madden. Yeah, you got this guy going, bam, into here. And the kids are all looking at me like, huh, what? I go, that's John Madden. They're like, the video game? I'm like, yeah, the video game guy. You know, it's really, yeah, you know, they had no idea, you know. But you know, those are just a couple of my John Madden stories, man. And it's a shame that he passed, you know, so suddenly around the holidays. God, it's terrible. So, again, my thoughts, prayers go out to John and his family with that. It's a shame, you know, because I guess, you know, he's in the spotlight with that, you know, for Christmas Day, the big show that came out. And so he's kind of a little relevant again. And then for him to pass, they said pass suddenly. So, man, it's a shame that it went that way. So, you know, and, you know, how great, you know, I mean, to go back and I really kind of, I don't know, tread lightly or whatever. But you know, Al Davis, who, you know, ask any Raider Nation, any Raider fan, you know, yes, of course, you know, short end of the stick, gets the raw deal where the Raiders, blah, blah, blah. But man, you know, he had the foresight in so many aspects of football, and you know, and Al was really a football guy that understood it. I don't know that there is an owner in the league that you could sit down and, I'm sorry, Jerry Jones is not. I mean, just, you're not a football guy, you know, where, like, I felt like, you know, the stories you hear, Al Davis, you know, is, you know, talking coverages and different things. So I just, you know, he was just an innovator, and, you know, he was able to get a guy, you know, who was John Madden. I mean, he was a guy that, you know, came to Philadelphia, hurt his knee, and, you know, stuck in a room watching film, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's the youngest head coach in the NFL. And you know what makes it even special, his record is, you know, I mean, that was kind of the heyday of coaches. You know, I mean, he went up against Chuck Knoll, Tom Landry, Don Shula. You know, there was no, you know, you're talking about some great head coaches back in the in that day, that he went and you know, wound up beating and getting those wins. And what really surprised me quite a bit is that he got a you know, it took him 20 years to get into the Hall, like, you know, which is, you know, that, you know, oh, it's the Raider, you know, snub or whatever, but, you know, really. But, you know, he was so ahead of the curve with, you know, player safety and all those things that really made it, you know, that really evolved to the game today. You know, that we see it, you know, he was an integral part of that, which is, you know, you wouldn't know, you know, so pretty cool. It was, you know, I heard Pete Carroll get on and say, you know, when they came out with that tackling video up there in Seattle, you know, John Madden called him. And he thought, you know, he was like, I felt like a kid in a candy store. John Madden calling me? What? And, you know, and just talking about the great innovation and everything that those guys had come up with, man. I thought that was really, really cool. So, you know, and props to John Madden. You know, feel free, jump in the comments with John Madden and anything else you got going on. I know Nevada Nick said he's going to jump in with his playoff picks, and you know, we'll see who he likes. I already know who I like down here, South Florida, almost pulled the trigger. On, you know, because I originally had a hookup, you know, because I got a buddy going to go to the game tomorrow night. But circumstances came up. They couldn't go. And, you know, I was more of a, you know, wasn't their tickets anyway. It was just, you know, we got an extra guy. Can he tag along? They were like, sure. And fell through anyway. But then I saw, man, ticket prices dropped. I saw they were like 176. Now you can go to the game, 176 to the Orange Bowl, and was going to pull the trigger, you know. You know, I got that early flight in the AM and whatnot. And, you know, this whole craziness here, so Michigan opted to come in today instead of earlier in the week. So they weren't around like I thought they were going to be. But we'll check in later with Nevada Nick and see what who he likes. And with that, and, you know, and then, you know, we have the big matchup here this week. Like, this is a tough week for me, and I think for most Giant fans. You know, you're playing the Chicago Bears. You have their number one pick. Do you beat them so you get a better pick, but then that drops you down? Or do you let them beat you so you get bumped up? You know, it's kind of where do you go with this? Like, what is it? You know, and you know, it bothers me because, you know, Seattle couldn't take care of business with, you know, like 5 minutes to go in the game. You couldn't run the clock out and bring that home. And instead, you know, they let the Bears come all the way back. So now I'm really, you know, I'm kind of torn this week. It's like, you know, let's just get it over with and move on with our day. And, you know, why is, you know, why, my problem is, why is Dave Gettleman still in the building? Why is he there? You know, he already said he was leaving. So why are we not, you know, or we're firing him or whatever we're doing? Why is he still in the building? Why is he in the building? And I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's not in the building and he's working remotely. You know, very, very possibly is working, you know. But, you know, aren't they interviewing candidates? You know, Louis Riddick is on a, well, he's not unemployed, but he's not employed by a team. So why are you not interviewing? And is the rule with the coaches the same as the general managers? Is that window open as well? I don't know what it is with that. I guess I have to check in and see what that is, because, you know, why are they not interviewing guys to replace it? You know, where is this? You know, what, you know, your fan base is, you know, we've had it. You know, we've had it with how piss poor this place is, as you know, just gotten run down. I mean, run down. You've run this franchise into the ground, Mr. Barra. Do you have CTE? Do you have dementia? Have you been checked out? You know, and part of the problem is, you know, I mean, you know, give family members jobs. I get that whole thing. You own the team, do what you want, but what are we? You know, we're putting guys in charge of personnel. You know, they can't be in charge of player engagement or, you know, fan engagement or some other, you know, hey, here's our charitable, you know, he's in charge of our charitable organization. Why couldn't you go buy a soccer team like Bob Kraft did and let his kids run that? You couldn't have done that. I mean, you know, I mean, come on now. Go something else. Unfriggin' believable when you watch how bad the NFC was. And you see how these teams have made these strides. And yet, it's like the Giants went and slammed it into drive and blew the transmission. And now they're just rolling back. And everybody's making advancements. You know, they're putting pieces together and you're seeing flashes. I mean, look, Dallas had a terrible defense and you gave them, you know, one of the best defensive players in the draft, arguably. I mean, I think he's going to probably equal LT with being a rookie defensive player and defensive MVP in the same season. I mean, he's having a hell of a year. You know, I mean, you're telling me that Kadarius Toney is better than Parsons. Kadarius Toney can't even stay on the field. You know, and I don't know, for the last, you know, you've heard me say this for the last, you know, three or four drafts, that we need an edge rusher to get this defense to make that stepping stone. You know, just like you need that, you know, anchor on the offensive line, you need that anchor on the defensive line. And I'm sorry, but Williams is not that guy. Again, we're again paying Robbins Batman money, and they're showing that they are just a Robin. And, you know, Was Dexter Lawrence worth the pick for that we got for Odell Beckham? No. Would he have been there in the second round? Yes. You know, nobody, everybody's called that a reach. You know, and then you you took Baker, you traded up into back into the first round to get Baker, who's, you know, you had a cut because of issues. And, you know, he looked pretty good in Kansas City last week. So I don't get it. You know, when and that's the same draft Daniel Jones came along. And again, you could have had a defensive end. And, you know, I don't think that the biggest issue with Daniel Jones, you know, okay, he's a bust. But if we had waited later into the draft, like most people had him, we would have been a lot better. John Madden, the great. Hey, PP Eater, how you doing, buddy? You know, and there, man, another, you know, you got another, again, the Vikings, you know, playing for their lives again and, you know, going to wind up coming up short. I believe that there's going to be a coaching change and a quarterback change in Minnesota. Yeah, you're not winning out. You're not. You can't. You have Kirk Cousins. In case you forgot, you can't. So Kirk Cousins can't beat a winning team. So, you know, and I honestly, I don't see. I think the Eagles are playing really good right now. Really good right now. So I don't see them losing. You know, what are their last two games? I mean, it's Dallas and Washington, right? Isn't that their last right? Isn't it or Washington and Dallas? Yeah, you know, so and there are no Redskins anymore, Tommy. Come on now. I know you didn't get across the pond yet. It's, you know, they're the Washington football team. So but yeah, it's, you know, they beat the Redskins or they beat the Washington football team, but, you know, Dallas is going to come and play some football because they are, you know, still trying to get that number one seed. Should the Packers hiccup? And I just don't see that. But, you know, yeah. Maybe you heard of this little band from Boston. They sing this song. It's called Dream On, Dream On. And, you know, maybe next year, new coach, you know, Doug Peterson's available, you know, so yeah. All right, Tommy, good night, buddy, over there across the pond. Thanks for checking in. We appreciate you checking in, buddy. Have a good night. Happy New Year, man. So. And, hey, look, Anthony, you know what? It's all about Russell Wilson's wife. She wants to come to New York. But my thing is this. Russell Wilson's biggest gripe has been, well, we don't have an offensive line. Well, you're sucking up all the money. They can't pay an offensive line. And, you know, he's going to come to New York. What's our biggest problem? Offensive line. And I really, do you want to give up picks to take on a contract for a guy? He would like to, but if I'm the Giants, hopefully, no. I mean, you know, I am, you know, play young. We have a lot of cap issue with these big contracts moving around. And, you know, and I heard Lawrence Tynes come out and be on the Abrams bandwagon. I'm sorry, but that building's got to get cleaned out, man. Okay. Got to, man. You know, the Giants on paper, sure, but you know, really they're not. I just don't see, you know, you have a busted running back with Saquon Barkley. You have receivers that can't stay on healthy on the field. You have a tight end that can't catch a cold buck naked in Antarctica. And an offensive line that can't block. So where does that leave you? You know, I mean, when you look at the Giants, the only thing that I see is the secondary. You know, I mean, I know Jabril Peppers is out, but him and Kenny from the two safeties and the two corners, you know, that's a good unit. And if you can add a pass rusher, that's what I'm saying. If you did not trade back and you took Micah Parsons at that point, I mean, you are – I mean, that defense would be – I mean, I think we'd be talking about the Giants in a playoff hunt. I'm not saying they'd be winning, you know, but I think they win a few more games than they have. And we'd be very differently about them. But would Daniel Jones still not never been on his bandwagon? Don't think that he is the guy or will be the guy. And it's time to move on. And what the Giants need to do is just get a stopgap guy. You know, and I'm sure next year Daniel Jones will be the quarterback next year because he's still a rookie deal. But we're not going to sign his fifth-year option, and we will move on from there, you know, and hopefully, you know, with those two picks that we have in the top 10, you know, I see the center from Iowa and the defensive end from Purdue because I think the other two defensive ends Thibodeau and Hutchinson will be gone before they get to the Giants. So the number three is the kid from Purdue, high motor. And I think those two picks thereafter, you know, and then I think in the second round, you need to start looking running back you know, and see on draft day, hopefully you can get something, you know. No, Anthony, just one, not, I'm not tackle. You know, Andrew Thomas has played really, really well. He's really coming into his own. He made a big leap. If anybody has, it's been him. It's that interior. I think you got to go center, really struggled with center, got to get, a center in there and defensive end, not two, because there's some other, you know, you can get some other offensive linemen. And I'm not, you know, the jury's still out on Matt Pert. I'm high on him. I think he can come in and play that right tackle spot and play really well. And also we have the guy on the practice squad who was a number one pick for Tennessee that got cut. Why is he not playing? I mean, we need help on the interior. Why have we not bumped him up and moved him inside? Let him play guard at least. And I think Perka is injured. They might be bringing him up. The kid from who played in Georgia with Thomas, you know, the other side. So, you know, let's see if we can. You know, so I'm not sold, Anthony, on using two picks on O-linemen. And I'm going really interior is really where we need some help big time because Will Hernandez just didn't pan out either. Just he's just not the guy, you know. He didn't that's why his stock fell. Like, you know, it was plummeting. I still think Will Hernandez would have been around in the third round. I mean, his stock was plummeting, and you know, we stopped his free fall because they kept telling us he's a first rounder. Well, if he was, someone would have picked him in the first round then. And they didn't. So, you know. You know, but we'll see. I haven't seen, and I don't know where, you know, and just take what you can get for Saquon. And you know, here's something that really, I'm going to float this out there, is sending Saquon to the 49ers, and we get Garoppolo and a fifth round pick back. What do you think? I mean, I would have him as the stopgap. You know, let him play for 2 years. You know, while you fix the rest of this. And if you catch lightning in a bottle and win some playoff games, then so be it. But you know, I think that's not a bad trade. You're looking at a team that likes to run the football, really running. You know, they have a great running attack, and they can really use a guy like Saquon to really help their young quarterback. And we get Jimmy G, which, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that, you know, and, you know, Jimmy G in a fifth or sixth rounder. I don't, you know, more like a fourth or fifth, but, you know, I'll settle for the fifth round pick and move on with our day. I mean, you know, I'm just in, Barkley has to go somewhere and just, you know, not on the Giants. He's a bust. Just in case you didn't hear me, Saquon Barkley is a bust. Thank you very much. Okay. And Dave Gettleman, that's the biggest problem I have with, you know, of all Dave Gettleman's stuff, was you had a top three, you had the third pick in the draft, a quarterback heavy, everybody wanted a quarterback, and you could have had a truckload of picks for that. You know, it's a little hard to trade a player who always figure and got bad knees, most likely have to cut them. Yeah, you know, I don't know that you'd have, you may have to. You're right, because, you know, again, Gettleman gave him his option, so we got to pay his ass, guaranteed his fifth-year option. But I know, I think someone will take him, because there is talent there, and hopefully maybe he can show it on another team. And I think that you might be able to trade him a little bit, because there's money involved with him and Garoppolo and whatnot. So I think you can make something work. And really, if you get the 49ers and Buffalo, because Buffalo has no running game. And I love Singletary, but, you know, you add Barkley into the mix, at least it causes some problems for people, and it doesn't go all on Josh Allen's shoulder. Maybe if, you know, the new general manager comes in and can start a little bidding war between those two, maybe we'll get something out of it. But, you know, we'll see. I can only hope. But you're right. At the end of the day, we'll probably have to cut him. But, you know, I think somebody will take a chance, and we'll be able to get something, salvage something from him, you know, you know, because Booker's playing pretty a lot better than him. And I said this before, it helps that inexperienced offensive line. You know, it helps that inexperienced offensive line, gets them moving and rolling, you know? So we'll see how that works out. this offseason. That's why, you know, hurry up and get to 2 weeks. Let's get into some playoff football and listen, it has been a, you know, crazy. I can't believe that we're in the last 2 weeks of football. It would actually be the last week last season. We'd be talking about this is the last week of the football season. But now they've added the extra game. So we have 2 weeks left before we get into the playoffs. And we'll we got Nevada Nick. I thought he said he was going to push out his predictions for some college games. But I don't know. Haven't heard from him because I'm not, rolling too late. I got a little bonfire to get to, and so I'm going to cut out a little bit early tonight, and see. I'm sending Nevada Nick a text and see what he's busy, you know, he has the massage powers, you know, poker game, you know, who knows what he's up to, but we'll see, from there. We got, but again, back to, the New York Football Giants, I'm, when are we going to start interviewing and going through the process? Because I feel like Gettleman, they didn't interview anybody but Gettleman. You know, oh, they interviewed Abrams. Well, they didn't take him the first time. So why? And I believe he's the cap guy. Abrams is really the cap guy, not a football guy. And we're in a little cap trouble. So why would he be the cap? You know, why would you want the cap guy in there? So I have no idea. We'll see. You know, we'll get into more Sunday, January 2nd. We'll be here, fresh new year, same show. Fresh new year, though, we'll be on. I think the best game is going to be the Michigan-Georgia game. I'm sorry, Billy. I think Georgia pulls it out, but I don't think that Georgia will cover. So I like Georgia, probably the under in that game. Alabama, I think, just, you know, steamrolls Ohio State's little brother. And, you know, we go from there. It'll be So we'll see. Everyone, listen, I want to thank everyone for checking me out or checking out the show. Please come back Sunday, 10 a.m. Nevada Nick will be here. Stiz also with the fantasy advice. I believe that's your and his prop bets, because he's been pretty solid. You've been following this show all season. You've made some money. If you're into the wagering stuff, so please take a look, hit the like button, subscribe if you're over on YouTube. We appreciate all the love. Share it with your friends. Let your friends know. We love it. Listen, everyone, stay safe. Enjoy the new year. Bring it in loud and proud. And we'll see everybody Sunday morning. Hey, have a great time. Be safe. And we'll see you guys Sunday.